I've been living with my head between the pages of my diary, and I only surface now and then to check that everything's on track.
Hello and welcome to Oxcast Extra. I'm here with Rosie Caldecott in Beetroot Pantry on Cowley Road because she's going to be playing as part of the Folk Festival on Saturday the 22nd of April at 8:30 as part of the Troubadours and Troubarits evening at the Oxford Deaf and Hard of Hearing Centre. Hello, Rosie.
Hello.
So, what are you looking forward to most about the Folk Weekend?
Well, it's all going to be great, I think, but a lot of it's a mystery to me. I'm not really sure. I've seen a lot of the people playing. I'm hoping to go to a couple of sessions, but also hoping to go to see Megan Henwood on the Saturday. I am working, but I'm going to try and sneak out on my lunch break. And then
leave a sort of straw man at the desk.
Yeah, they won't notice. And also just the Troubadours session and playing with some of my favourite people who also happen to be some of my closest friends. So that's going to be lovely.
Cool. Have you been involved in the Oxford Folk Weekend before?
I have. Yeah. I played again for James Bell at the Troubadour Troubarits, but at the Isis a couple of years ago now.
Because it's a regular night, isn't it, the Troubadour?
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes quite sporadic, but he's been doing it for quite a few years now, and played at quite a few of them. Yeah, there's just always really great evenings, and he's a fantastic everything, but organiser, the whole package, and musician, obviously. So anything that James organises and puts on, you know, is going to be a really great night.
Yeah.
He's done some recording for some friends of mine, and he's the only person I know that you'll turn up and he will have a really detailed itinerary of the evening that will go by every 10 minutes. You have a task and you have to complete that task. But it never feels kind of...
That's the magic, I suppose.
Yeah, it's amazing. He does it really well.
Yeah.
So
cool. So what got you into songwriting?
Well, I don't know. I guess I've always tried to find ways of expressing things that aren't necessarily very direct, and ways of communicating things to people that will approach them from a different angle and take them by surprise, perhaps.
So you're really thinking about your audience when you're writing songs?
Yeah, I am. And myself as well. So there's the audience factor, but then there's also, I suppose, it was a channel for me to be able to process things. When I was young, that wasn't very much. There wasn't much to process. I had a pretty balmy existence. And
I imagine it didn't feel like that at the time.
Well, obviously, you know, taking midnight walks out onto the meadow and brooding over the meaning of life. And, you know, you always find something to brood over when you're a teenager. But it wasn't really till my 20s that I started to actually have things to properly explore and write about. And but I think I was always listening to female songwriters throughout my upbringing, and I didn't ever set out to be a songwriter. I just picked up a guitar, probably saw my friend picking up a guitar and thought, oh, I could try that.
Yeah.
And then words came out and songs started forming, and I got addicted. I think that's what happens as a songwriter. You discover this thing that you can never really explain if you've tried. This ability to be the conduit for a song, and it's mysterious, and every time you do it, it's magical. But I went through a phase when I was growing up, through my teens, of songs just coming out, and I had to eventually find a way of sharing them and getting over the nerves of sharing them, and then just went from there. I just carried on writing and playing to people I wanted to play to, and that's still the way it is. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
That was my next question, actually, was going to be, what comes first for you, the melody or the lyrics? What comes to you first?
different every time. It used to be both simultaneously, definitely, and it used to not really work. If I would try too hard on one or the other, they had to come together.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, it doesn't really happen that way, and I beat myself up for it. And in fact, there are just a million different ways to write a song, and you know, not one way is right, and not one way is right for me. It will change. So at the moment, I've been coming up with a lot of concepts and word ideas,
mm-hmm.
and I'll jot them down over the course of like a year or a few years, and then eventually I'll find the melody, and the words will find their place with that melody. But it often doesn't work to try and ram them together either. So yeah, I usually have kind of five ideas, and I'm like, I really need to find a melody, and then I'll sit down over and over again, and a whole new song will come out, and I'll still have those five ideas that still haven't found
waiting
their place.
Waiting for you.
Yeah. So
that's cool. So how did you get involved in the Oxford music scene then? Once you'd got some songs, what were your first forays into performing?
Catweasel was Catweasel. It. I mean, it still is.
Mm-hmm. So for anyone who doesn't know, Catweasel is a Thursday night session that happens in the East Oxford Community Centre at 7:30?
8:15 it starts, but if you want to perform, it's 7:15.
And it's a really cool sort of community event. Anyone can go along and read a poem or play some music.
Tell a joke if they're daring.
Yeah. The comedy stand-ups do it sometimes, don't they?
Yeah, it's rare, but it does happen.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a good way of getting into the scene, I imagine.
Definitely.
Meeting people.
It's amazing. Yeah. That, if you, it just plugs you straight into this really amazing, diverse, high quality, like underground music scene, which when you're at any stage of life is intoxicating in a way. And I did like 2 years of going every week, I think, while I was here. It was the end of school I started going, and I just, you know, the songs I was writing were just off, like, I'd really not like to revisit that, and I'm glad they're not recorded, but the way they were received and the way everyone is received in that space, it just, you have a space to put things forward and to be in process as well. It's not, you know, 1 week you might stand up and just completely fail at what you wanted to deliver, but that's okay, because it's just a space that's continually evolving, and people are moving through and sharing all together in that one evening, and it becomes something bigger than what you brought.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was a reason to go back and to write more every week.
Okay,
you know, you'd
yeah.
want to write something new and play something new and share that. And yeah, I really owe a lot to Catweasel. I don't think I'd be writing now without it. You know, there are lots of great open mics around the country, but it's very unique.
And yeah, it's special.
It's very special. When anyone asks where's good to play in this area, I always say you have to come, you know, just experience that for yourself. And it's scary, and it's still the most terrifying performance space that I play at.
Really? Because it's so important?
It's important, and people really listen and care, and that's terrifying.
But then at the same time, I've only been once, but it feels like there's not much judgment there.
No judgment, no. I mean, if there were, you wouldn't know about it, for sure.
No, yeah.
I know people come through on tour and stuff, and they always say, I've never been more scared than on that little golden chair. Like, it's really funny.
Yeah.
And obviously I've got better at dealing with the nerves, but they're still there. So yeah, Catweasel really. And then I moved away to go to university and was just always looking back, really. Didn't find anything like it down there.
Where were you?
Falmouth.
In Falmouth. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What about outside of music? Where's your favourite spot in Oxford? Is there somewhere which particularly inspires you musically, or where songs come to you?
I tend to write songs in private, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But places that inspire me in Oxford definitely would be, goodness, there's loads. I love, especially at night time, like after Catweasel, after a night, an event, walking past the Radcliffe Camera I just, especially on a clear night,
yeah,
I just think
there's
that
a special
spot
light
when it's really quiet and it's illuminated and inside, and I've never been in, and I don't think I ever want to go in because it would ruin the magical mystery of it. But I love that courtyard, that square.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. Everything about Oxford is beautiful.
Yeah, it's one of those cities, isn't it? Everywhere you turn, there's a beautiful postcard in front of you.
Yeah.
So what's next for Rosie Caldicott?
Well,
apart from the Folk Weekend performance next weekend.
I will be playing at Tandem Festival.
Ah, yes.
Which is really exciting.
Do you know the dates of Tandem?
They are the 16th to the 18th of... I'm going to get this
June.
Wrong.
June.
June, definitely June. And yeah, it didn't happen last year because they were... So it's run for 2 years, Tandem Festival, so far, and it was at Hill End. And it's kind of organised by the most fantastic, dynamic, like energised group of people I've ever met. One of which is Nico O'Brien, who recorded and mixed my my album, Inside Out, and recently recorded and mixed and produced, did magic on my single, which is now on Bandcamp, which is called The Swell.
Okay.
So I've worked closely with him on recording, and yeah, anyway, he organised with a lot of other people now, Tandem Festival, and it's really, really, really amazing. I know that, again, there are a lot of festivals, but...
this is a special one.
It's really special,
yeah.
And I really recommend people trying it out if they haven't already, and it's in a new venue now. I think it's called Lower Farm, which is out northwest of Oxford, kind of above Whitney.
I think there's still one more of their little evenings at Sylvie as well to come
in May.
Yeah.
So the Tandem Sundays, which have been sold out every time, to the best of my knowledge. And again, if you can get a ticket to the last of those, it's well worth it. Really, really intimate, really crammed into this beautiful little cozy house on the Iffley Road, yeah, and always amazing music. They have phenomenal taste. So yeah, that's happening, and yeah, with Nico, I'm hoping to. He doesn't know this, but
we'll send him the interview if you want.
doing another album, hopefully next year.
Okay,
working towards that at the moment. Just gigs as they come, and Catweasel. Hopefully, breaking out of Oxford. This year as well. I need to do that. I've been a bit lazy because the Oxford music scene is just so wonderful and constant and inspiring, and I haven't really made much effort to get beyond the boundaries. I played in Reading, played in London once maybe, but yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully I'll get some gigs
outside of
the Ring Road. Exactly.
Okay. So, like I said, you can catch Rosie playing on Saturday, the 22nd of April, as part of the Folk Festival at the Oxford Deaf and Hard of Hearing Centre at 8:30. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I'm tempted to take off my watch and to stop all the clocks. So I'm not keeping time all the time, and things are moving so fast that I forget what has just passed, and there's no It's no one's fault.